Listening Library presents Who Was First? Discovering the Americas by Russell Friedman. Read for you by L.J. Ganser. Before Columbus. For a long time, most people believed that Christopher Columbus was the first explorer to discover America, the first to make a successful round-trip voyage across the Atlantic. But in recent years, as new evidence has come to light, our understanding of history has changed. We now know that Columbus was among the last explorers to reach the Americas, not the first. 500 years before Columbus, a daring band of Vikings led by Leif Erikson set foot in North America and established a settlement. And long before that, some scholars say, the Americas were visited by seafaring travelers from China and possibly by visitors from Africa and even Ice Age Europe. A popular legend suggests an additional event. According to an ancient manuscript, in the 6th century, a band of Irish monks, led by St. Brendan, sailed an ox-hide boat westward in search of new lands. After 7 years, they returned home and reported that they had discovered a land covered with luxuriant vegetation, believed by some people today to have been Newfoundland. All along, of course, the two continents we now call North and South America had already been discovered. Before European explorers arrived, the Americas were home to tens of millions of native peoples. While the Native American groups differed greatly from one another, they all performed rituals and ceremonies, songs and dances, that brought to mind and heart memories of the ancestors who had come before them and given them their place on Earth. Who were the ancestors of those Native Americans? Where did they come from? When did they arrive in the Americas, and how did they make their epic journeys? As we dig deeper and deeper into the past, we find that the Americas have always been lands of immigrants, lands that have been discovered time and again by different peoples coming from different parts of the world over the course of countless generations, going far back to the prehistoric past when a band of Stone Age hunters first set foot in what truly was an unexplored new world. Chapter 1. Admiral of the Ocean Sea. Christopher Columbus was having trouble with his crew. His fleet of 3 small sailing ships had left the Canary Islands nearly 3 weeks earlier, heading west, across the uncharted Ocean Sea, as the Atlantic was known. He had expected to reach China or Japan by now, but there was still no sign of land. None of the sailors had ever been so long away from the sight of land, and as the days passed, they grew increasingly restless and fearful. The Ocean Sea was also known as the Sea of Darkness. Hideous monsters were said to lurk beneath the waves, venomous sea serpents and giant crabs that could rise up from the deep and crush a ship along with its crew. And if the earth was flat, as many of the men believed, then they might fall off the edge of the world and plunge into that fiery abyss where the sun sets in the west. What's more, Columbus was a foreigner, a red-headed Italian commanding a crew of tough, seafaring Spaniards, and that meant he couldn't be trusted. Finally, the men demanded that Columbus turn back and head for home. When he refused, some of the sailors whispered together of mutiny. They wanted to kill the admiral by throwing him overboard. But for the moment, the crisis passed. Columbus managed to calm his men and persuade them to be patient a while longer. "I am having serious trouble with the crew, complaining that they will never be able to return home," he wrote in his journal. "They have said that it is insanity and suicidal on their part to risk their lives following the madness of a foreigner. I am told by a few trusted men, and these are few in number, that if I persist in going onward, the best course of action will be to throw me into the sea some night." All along, Columbus had been keeping 2 sets of logs. One, which he kept secretly and showed to no one, was accurate, recording the distance really sailed each day. The other log, which he showed to his crew, hoping to reassure them that they were nowhere near the edge of the world, deliberately underestimated the miles they had covered since leaving Spain. They sailed on for another 2 weeks and still saw nothing. There were more rumblings of protest and complaint from the crew. The men seemed willing to endure no more. On October 10th, Columbus announced that he would give a fine silk coat to the man who first sighted land. The sailors greeted that offer with glum silence. What good was a silk coat in the middle of the sea of darkness? Later that day, Columbus spotted a flock of birds flying toward the southwest, a sign that land was close. He ordered his ships to follow the birds. The next night, the moon rose in the east shortly before midnight. About 2 hours later, at 2 a.m. on October 12th, a sailor on one of Columbus's ships, the Pinta, saw a white stretch of beach, shouted, "Land! Land!" and fired a cannon. At dawn, the three ships dropped anchor in the calm blue waters just offshore. They had arrived at an island in what we now call the Bahamas. Excited crew members crowded the decks. They saw people standing on the beach, waiting to greet them. The natives had no weapons other than wooden fishing spears, and they were practically naked. Who were these people, and what place was this? Columbus supposed that his fleet had landed on one of the many islands that Marco Polo had reported lay just off the coast of Asia. They must have reached the Indies, he thought, islands near India known today as the East Indies. So he decided that those people on the beach must be Indians, the name by which they have been known ever since. China and Japan, he believed, lay a bit farther to the north. Though Christopher Columbus was an Italian born in Genoa, he had lived for years in Portugal, where he worked as a bookseller, a mapmaker, and a sailor. He had sailed on Portuguese ships as far as Iceland in the North Atlantic and down the coast of Africa in the South Atlantic. During his days at sea, he read books on history, geography, and travel. Like most educated people at the time, Columbus believed that the earth was round, not flat, as some ignorant folks still insisted. The ocean sea was seen as a great expanse of water surrounding the landmass of Eurasia, which stretched from Europe in the west to China and Japan in the far distant east. If a ship left the coast of Europe, sailed west toward the setting sun, and circled the globe, it would reach the shores of Asia. Or, so Columbus thought. In the past, European explorers and traders had taken the overland route to the Far East, with its precious silks and spices. They traveled for months by horse and camel along the Silk Road, an ancient caravan trail that crossed deserts and climbed dizzying mountain peaks. Marco Polo had followed the Silk Road on his famous journey to China 2 centuries earlier. But recently, this land route to Asia, controlled in part by the Turks, had been closed to Europeans. And in any case, Columbus was convinced that he could find an easier and faster route to Asia by sailing west across the ocean sea. There were plenty of stories circulating in those years about the possibility of sailing directly from Europe to Asia, an idea first suggested by the ancient Greeks. Columbus owned a book called Imago Mundi, or Image of the World, by a French scholar, Pierre Dailly, who argued that the ocean sea wasn't as wide as it seemed, and that a ship driven by favorable winds could cross it in a few days. Next to that passage in the margin of the book, Columbus had written, "There is no reason to think that the ocean covers half the earth." In 1484, he proposed his bold scheme of sailing west to China to King John II of Portugal, a monarch who had paid much attention to the discovery of new lands. Portugal was Europe's leading maritime power. Portuguese explorers in search of slaves, ivory, and gold had already discovered rich kingdoms and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?